Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
It's good to have a place called home, isn't it? Whether you live in your own house, a rented house, whether you live in a one-room flat, whether you live in a mansion, so good to have a home. You know, I go away a little bit and it's always good to stay somewhere, but it's always good to come home. Something about home. And it's not what the neighbours think about your home, it's what you think about your home. And it's amazing that everybody wants a home. Even the animals want a home. The birds make a nest because they want a home. Every animal on our property, you walk around and there's an ant's nest. The ants want a home. Sometimes I think my leg is their home. But it's just that nature seems it wants a home. I really feel for those that have been displaced, refugees floating around the world. They want a home. And even in the refugee camps, what do? They create a home. I was watching the news the other night, it may have been last night in Martin Square, where the homeless people have set up their home. And the council began to pull it down. They said, it doesn't matter, we'll create a home somewhere else. Everybody wants a home. Yeah. A place where they can put their head down and just say, this is home. And I think each one of us, we do all that we can to establish a home. I know we haven't moved around much in life, but I know that when we have moved from, you know, rental property to rental property and whatever it be, Carol was very quick, unpack everything and make it home as quickly as she could. Hang her paintings up on the wall, you know, throw our clothes on the floor, whatever you do. And just so it's got that feeling of home. You know, what is a home? A home is a place of shelter. It's a place of safety. It's a place to grow. It's a place to develop. It's a place to learn. It's a place to relate. It's a place where we learn to give and care. There's no place like home. And the other thought is this. What makes a home is a heart. When you put your heart into it, it's a home. Where your heart is where your home. Where your home is where your heart is. And as we look at the Bible, we just are thinking of one Bible character, and that's a person called King David. He wasn't always a king. He grew up as a lad and went up through the processes, and God anointed him to be king of Israel. Eventually, he served as one of the greatest kings. But he had a home. He had wife, he had children. I don't know what his home was like, but one day, David was just sitting in his home and he thought, I've got a home. Everyone else here has got a home. Israel for years and years was kind of traveling around as refugees, but now they're established in their home and got a home. And there's many people here from around different places around the world. And when you came here, you made this place your home. What a great place. Not only Australia home, but where you dwell, you've made it your home. And David says, man, I've got a house, but what about a house for God? And it's a strange thought, because the earth cannot contain God. How can a house contain him? But David was trying to establish a place of honor where God would be honored, a place where people could come and worship the living God. And because David had that in his heart, it's amazing. He had it in his heart, not only to build himself a house and have protection himself, but also to build God a house. And God said this back to David. He says, if you build me a house, I'll build your house. Did you hear it? If you build my house, I'll build yours. And I just want to suggest today, grab hold of this principle, because it'll help you. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And if you're trying to build your house without having God in the center of it, it's a laborious job. It's pretty hard with God in the center. But God said to David, hey, you build my house. And he says, I'm going to build yours. What a great thought. I just thinking that if we build God's house, and not only talking about physical facilities here, but we're talking about the spiritual house, where we bring our tithes in the house, that there may be food in the house. And then he says, prove me now in this. And even beyond that, I think if we translate this into Matthew, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So God's saying, if you build my house, I'll help you build your life. I'll help you build your marriage. I'll help you build your family. I'll help you to build your finances. I'll help you to build your career. I'll help you to build your ministry. You'll be amazed what I will do in and through your life if you just choose to build God's house. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles 28:2 reads like this. Then the king arose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and have made preparations to build it. What has he said? I had it in my heart to build God a house. Let me ask you a question today. What's in my heart? Let me ask you today, what's in your heart? Oh man, myself. Or is God the first fruits within your life? Or is God at the forefront of your life? And this is a challenge for each one of us to kind of get the perspective and position God in the right place within our life. And David made it the ambition of his life that he was going to put God first. What is in our heart? Because I believe whatever is in our heart, we prepare to see it fulfilled. What is in your heart, you prepare to see it fulfilled. And I know this, and you'll know it as well. God puts favor on preparation. This is something about it. That if you start to prepare for what God's put within your heart, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your children, your home, ministry, if you begin to put God up there, I believe that favor comes upon your preparation. You see, preparation is active. It wants to do something, you know, prepare, prepare, prepare. Like even when Noah, it said Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God put a word in his heart, and then he went out and built the ark. He got the resources. He built it kind of basically single-handedly with his family. And in that building, he was preparing an ark for the salvation of mankind and all the animal kingdom of that time. And so when favor came upon Noah, it wasn't just to, oh, this feels good. Oh, favor. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, it created an action within his life to go and do something. Everyone say, do something. Who loves people that do something? I love doers. I'm a doer. Yeah, people can be dreamers and there's time to dream, but there's a time to put dreams into action and move towards them. This place isn't here today just because someone had a dream. Yeah, they had a dream and there's a preparation that made it become a reality. So favor is not a feeling or just a feeling. It's a vehicle. It's a key to open doors, to obtain things and to do things, which is good news. Now look at this. He says, it's been in my heart and I've prepared myself to build the house of God. 1 Chronicles 29:3, and it says, moreover, plus, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. Not only had a heart to do something, but he set his affection on the house of my God. And he says, I've given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Obviously, David loved God and loved his house. And he loved the cause of the king to make Israel a place of renown. Church, do we want the name of God to be a name of renown? Do we want the name, you know, even Spire, even though that's probably nothing about holy about the name, but what flowed through this house, it becomes a renowned to the people around us. David says, I've set my affection. Ah, what a great word. I've set my devotion. I've set my emotions and feelings. I've set my heart. I've set my mind on the house of my God. And I don't know about you, there's stacks of things within our life, and I'm aware there's sports, and I'm aware there's, you know, there's things that our kids are involved in, and people are involved in, there's work, and there's socials, and all those kind of things that we get on with life. But I want to encourage you today, hey, set your affection on the house of God. Put him first, and all these other things will be added unto you. If you put him in the center, it's amazing how life begins to sort it out. But if you put God kind of on the edge of things, man, it becomes one of those almost useless things that just comes one of the extras within life. God is not an extra. He's the hub. He's the center. Now, interesting about this word affection. Turn to someone and say affection. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Other places in the Bible, it means to feel sorry for someone who is grieving or hurting. Feel sorry. Now, I just think this, God doesn't want you to feel sorry for his cause or for his church. I know some of expressions are pitiful. And as individuals, because of our makeup, we are sometimes more responsive to the broken and what's not working. And I believe that is something that God's placed within your heart. And everyone wants to help something that's hurt or wounded. But when it comes to God's house, he doesn't want you to feel sorry for a poor, pathetic thing that needs help. What's God saying? He says, don't feel sorry for the church. Be affectionate for the house of God and its cause. Are you hearing me today? I just wonder today if I just got up here. Maybe I shouldn't be saying it, but let me go for it. I get up and said, hey, church, we're going broke. I need 50,000 bucks today. I guarantee we'd get it. Because it would touch your heart, because the pathetic poor church is going down the gurgler. But that is not the case. Over the years, God has blessed this church. You know, and blessed it, not because we've got an abundance of finance, but because we've got an abundant God, and because favor has come our way. And my challenge to you today is, if you will give to something that's pathetic and broken, why don't you give something glorious, that we can make it even better and make it even stronger in Jesus' name. Just change the mindset a little bit. You know, and I've even been in churches where, you know, the pastor is struggling, his family's a mess, he's financially a mess, and all the people get around him and they want to, you know, straighten the pastor up, and they get buy-in that way. And thank God for that. But I'm not bent that way. I'm not asking you to give to poor, pathetic John. I'm asking you to give to a fantastic vision that will affect the generations and affect your life, and we can rise in strength together in Jesus' name. Hope that's okay. I think that our affection for God should be, wow, I delight, I love, I'm devoted. You know, we just don't only serve in this church because, you know, we have a need. No, we ask people to serve in this church because we want to see the vision go forth. We want to see your life and develop. We want to see your talents rise to an extra height in God. That's just a different way of looking at things. Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Come on, church, he's coming for something glorious. I don't think he's coming for something that's broken, that's run down, that's old, decrepit. No, he's coming for something glorious. And when I think of something glorious, I think it's attractive. And what's attractive about you? The life of God. You take the life of God out of you, you're a boring person. You put the life of God in you. Your eyes become alive. There's a shine on your face. And you put that within the life of the church. There's something different about us. There's a spark in the eyes. There's a spring in the step. Why? That's what Jesus is working on, a glorious church. Oh, we make it glorious by our affection. Oh, affection makes you do crazy things. Affection involves time, effort, and giving. And I remember when I first started to date Carol, or she started to first date me, we used to go out for dinners, and they were cool. We used to buy each other gifts, and that was cool. I used to buy her flowers, yellow roses. I used to sacrifice, bought her an engagement ring that put me in debt. And it was all cool, you know. Married her, brought her out of a foreign country into God's country. Delivered her from the All Blacks. Now she's got a song in her heart. She's so happy. She is glorious. I want to tell you, husbands and wives, make your spouses glorious by your affection that you have for them. And all the men said, and all the women said, and all the men said, and all the women said, men have it. We're reflections of each other. That's what I always say to my wife. Hey, you look good. It makes me look good. But you know what can happen with affection? Like even this place, people gave. Inspired Church. Fantastic. How'd that happen? Fantastic auditorium and that kind of stuff. But now the facilities and that kind of stuff. And man, the Word of God's powerful. The leaders are good. Worship's unbelievable and that kind of stuff. You're here for a while and it can lose effect. Why? Because you get over familiar. And you can get over familiar with me. That's just John. Then you stop hearing the Word of God. Don't get over familiar of the people that God's placed within your life. And don't get over familiar with what God's established, because I just believe if we keep a respect and keep honor, I believe that God continues to use that to breathe life into us. Don't get over familiar with your spouse. Don't get over familiar with your children. Respect them and honor them as the gift of God within your life. Pour affection on them. Make them glorious. And I believe it's the same with church. God's coming back for a glorious church, not a people that are over familiar. Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll turn up late. Doesn't matter. We don't have to serve. Doesn't matter, we don't have to give. Hey, what the heck? You'd be thankful I got out of bed the right side this morning. Come on, a bit of honor and respect for the Word of God and for the people of God and for the service of God. And I'm not angry this morning. I'm just inspired. That wasn't even in my notes this morning. But oh, church, we can make this place more glorious because of our attitude and our affection and our giving to the house of God. Man, I've been here 35 years. Come on, give me a break. Don't let us go out this way. Let's go out this way in Jesus' name. Oh, it's a great day to be alive.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.